I'm Scott Mullet, and I'm here at the beautiful Woodmark Hotel along the shores of Lake Washington in Kirkland. We're about to sit down with all seven of our city council people to find out just a little bit more about each of them. Please join us. Well, we are visiting with Jessica Greenway here, city council person, city of Kirkland. Jessica, thank you very much for coming and seeing us here at the Woodmark Hotel this morning.
My pleasure.
So we're going to go through and we're going to do some random get to know you better questions.
Okay.
These might be questions that aren't the typical questions that you had asked of you during your campaign or during your stint as a city council person. So hopefully this will give our viewers additional insight into you and who you are. So you ready for the first
one? I'm ready.
Who is your favorite fictional character?
So my favorite fictional character, and if I spent a lot of time thinking about this, there probably would be many, many. But just off the top of my head, it's a television character. I'm a big fan of crime scene investigation, television
CSI.
Shows, and the Law and Order shows. I love those shows. And I'm fascinated by crime scene investigation and by forensic science. So my favorite character is CSI detective Stella Bonacera. Mm-hmm. On CSI New York.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I really admire her. She is smart. She's brave. She is really a leader. And so I find her fascinating.
So what about all the forensics and those details? What interests you? Why do you think you're so interested in that aspect?
Maybe because I'm sort of analytical by nature. But you know what I love? This just drives my husband crazy. I love the physical science, you know, the bodies and mm-hmm. the what caused the death and that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, a lot of people would be, you know, sort of turned off by that, but
yes.
I find it fascinating.
They go to the gruesome crime scene, and you're waiting in anticipation for what is going to come next.
Right. Yes. Yes.
Very good. So our next one. Hopefully very different from the crime scene
okay.
aspect is, name one thing you miss about being a child.
I would say as a child, never having to worry about tomorrow. As a child, you're pretty much happy-go-lucky, carefree, and each day is a new day, and you don't spend one day thinking about, oh no, what's going to happen tomorrow. You just know tomorrow's going to be a new day, and you say, oh, I can't wait for tomorrow because mm-hmm. it's going to be great. And as an adult, you know, you have to plan ahead and think ahead, and sometimes you're apprehensive about what's going to happen in the future or the next day. So that's what I miss. That sort of blissful
mm-hmm.
Just feeling that everything's great and
right.
every day is a new day.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, would that inspire you to do the Annie song, you know, the sun will come out, and give us a rendition of that here,
not quite? Not exactly, no.
Okay.
But you get the point.
It's the
just being able to be so relaxed, and I guess have confidence in the future,
mm-hmm.
because there's so little you have to be responsible for. And as an adult, there's so much you have to be responsible mm-hmm. for, so you plan for the future and you worry about the future.
Mm-hmm. Do you think there's a happy medium there?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
To still have that childhood.
And I think, you know, a easygoing person that has a good life and basically is optimistic, a glass half full kind of a person,
mm-hmm.
which I generally am,
mm-hmm.
of course. You balance it with things that you're optimistic about, and also you figure out solutions and how you're going to handle the stressful things or the challenges.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Do you ever have those days where something comes up that you had forgotten about, and you're very happy? Wow, I'm glad I wasn't worried about that, and it's here for me today. But boy, I'm really glad I'd forgotten because otherwise I would have been worried.
Sure, of course, everybody has that, and I guess that's one of the ways that you handle it is you don't have every single thing going through your mind that you have to think about or deal mm-hmm. with. Mm-hmm. You do have those very pleasant surprises. And sometimes, you know, you have challenges that you weren't prepared for, so you have to think on your feet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably, you know, hard, but also good at the same time, because it's good training, good practice.
And sometimes that's the most rewarding.
Sometimes that's the most rewarding, especially if you excel at it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you meet a challenge that you weren't expecting and you feel good about how you did, mm-hmm. that's very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What was the last movie you saw?
The last movie I saw was at the Park Place Theater. It was Men Who Stare at Goats.
Okay.
Have you seen that movie?
No, but I thought it was a very interesting name for a film.
Oh, it is so hilarious. It's not at all what I expected. I wanted to see it because I really like George Clooney, and every single one of his movies is completely different.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just wanted to see it because of that, and then I saw some of the marketing for it, and it made me think, what could this movie possibly be about? And it was sort of intriguing. But the marketing doesn't come anywhere close to being as good as the movie itself mm-hmm. is. The title actually gives you an indication, not because of the words of the title, but because it's so odd and strange.
Mm-hmm.
And so the movie is odd and strange, and actually what makes it hilarious is it's kind of about an era, which I guess would be the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Which is odd and strange in itself.
Yes,
right? Yes,
you got it. You got it right there. You just captured it, the essence of the movie. But it's just so funny because it's this really unbelievable story.
Mm-hmm.
Where you have two completely different cultures that come together in secret to do this goofy project.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so funny. It just had, my husband and I were just like laughing out loud
mm-hmm.
so many times in the movie because there were so many either really funny lines or just really funny scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So It was much, much funnier
mm-hmm.
than, and more entertaining than I expected.
So do you go to the movies a lot?
A lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, by my standards, because mm-hmm. I'm such a busy person. I don't have that much free time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I know people who are really movie nuts that go to one or two movies every week. So I would say we go to two movies a month.
Mm-hmm.
Not as much as I'd like to, but, you know, a fair amount. It's one of the things that I really like to do, especially if there are movies that I'm intrigued by. And
mm-hmm.
I read a lot of movie reviews,
mm-hmm.
and I read movie reviews in sort of odd places, like I read the Wall Street Journal,
mm-hmm.
and they never like anything.
I know.
Their reviews in general are very, very negative.
Mm-hmm.
So if I read a movie review in the Wall Street Journal and it's positive, I always want to go see that movie because if they like it, it's got to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
So the next movie on my list that I want to see is the new George Clooney movie, which is up in
That's
the air.
That's on my list too.
And yep. You see, I would not have been intrigued by a movie about that subject, but the reviews I've read, including one in the Wall Street Journal, which was really positive. I mean,
mm-hmm.
they gave it a whole half page of text.
Yeah, I read that review.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about. So that made me think, wow, I have got to see this movie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely going to go see that one.
Yeah, I'm I travel.
Oh, okay.
A lot. And so I'm one of these frequent, and I want to see if that movie's going to reveal some of the secrets that I don't know even.
Okay.
In terms of, okay.
Good.
What? Yeah. Which club is where? And
yeah.
And I think it sounds. And I actually think that the director who is Ivan Reitman's son, Jason Reitman,
uh-huh.
I think is a very good, young, promising director. As
oh,
well.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I'm fascinated by the idea that someone would travel a lot and really like it. Because I think traveling is a lot of work, especially I like the being there,
mm-hmm.
but I don't like the getting there
mm-hmm.
and the getting home part. But this movie seems to be about someone who really likes that part. So so I think, I just can't wait to see, you know, how could someone possibly like that part of it?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that movie as
But it's also a subject. Who could make a movie out of that? That's what I'm interested to see. That's not a deep subject. That's not a complicated subject. How can you make a movie out of that? Right. So I can't wait to see.
They'll figure it out. I'm sure they figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to move into, what do you think is the greatest invention of your lifetime?
Well, I think I would have to say computers. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, computers have been around actually longer than I've been using them, but I experienced the early days of using computers. Mm-hmm. And when I think about what we did then and what we were so impressed with, you know, that you could go from the typewriter to word processing, that you could, I remember thinking, oh, you can correct things, and then print out your document so easily. I mean, that was just the biggest, like, sign of progress. Mm-hmm. And then think about that, which would have been 25, 30 years ago, and then what we do now. Mm-hmm. is so amazing how far we've come with technology and the things that we're able to do. Now, the thing I think is interesting is it was always said that technology would make your life easier and technology would reduce or eliminate paper. And I'm not so sure those promises have been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I mean, technology means you can do a lot more, and so we do so many things now that we wouldn't have done before because you just couldn't have possibly done that by hand. Mm-hmm. So does it make life easier? I guess in some ways, but in a way, it puts more pressure because the standards are higher and you do more. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not sure it's reduced paper. It maybe has for the city of Kirkland, and maybe that is still in the future. That's the frontier we haven't crossed yet. Mm-hmm. But especially in my business, there's so much compliance, there's so much regulation, and there's even more because you do more, and you do more with technology instead of hard copies. So you have to make a hard copy of everything and keep it. Yep. So there's still a lot of paper retention, so I'm still waiting for that to be accomplished.
Yeah, could you imagine how much more there would be if they didn't have the, you know, at least what they do keep electronically?
I guess that's the way to look at it, is that we do more, we generate more records because we're providing more service because we can, and we have therefore more record retention. But you're right, if we did all that and were doing it by hard copy and had to retain all the hard copies, yes, you're right. So I guess I'll be a little more generous about that.
Yeah.
But I'm still really waiting for the day when we really do have less paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, and without the computers, you wouldn't have the computer solitaire game and all of that, you know, is so popular in terms of, everyone has a pop-up and you see their laptops and they're all playing solitaire and stuff too as well.
For many people, computers are a source of their entertainment. Mm-hmm. Not so much for me. You know, computers are more what I do for work, although everybody has most people have a social function that they perform on computers. And, you know, I do that as well with email and a lot of correspondence. You keep in touch with people in certain ways that you wouldn't probably be able to do if you didn't have computers.
You have Facebook friends?
Not yet. That's a frontier I haven't crossed yet.
That's the next one.
That's the next frontier.
You get to Facebook and that, that opens up a whole new world.
Yeah.
All right, so we're gonna do a little actor studio here. What sound do you hate?
The sound, without a doubt, The sound I hate is the buzzing sound that the City of Kirkland sound system in the council chambers makes. That is the most irritating sound, and every time I hear it, I feel like a failure, because we have this sound system for really the public, mm-hmm. both the public that's in the audience and the watching public. And when that sound comes on, and we've tried everything to eliminate it, we do everything we can to eliminate it, and it's really at this point, there's only one way to eliminate it, and that's with a whole new sound system. So, and that's just not possible right now. So, but I just feel so bad, because when that sound comes on, mm-hmm. you can't hear what's going on. That's what people hear if they're in the audience or if they're watching on television. And so it just makes me feel like we're not serving the public well when that sound comes on. It's very grating to the ears, but
so is this so you wake up at night and you this is the sound you hear?
No, thank goodness. No, I never even think about it any other time. Mm-hmm. And I don't think about it when we start our council meetings. I never think, oh, pretty soon we're going to have this sound. I don't think about it. It's only when it happens for the first time that I realize, oh no, here it goes again. Mm-hmm. And it's very frustrating, because there's really nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. Well, if you ever hear me try to play a musical instrument, maybe that would supplement your sound that you hate the most from there. We'll provide you other sounds that are just worse than that. All right, this question I'm going to preface with, you can't say Kirkland.
Oh, okay.
What is your most favorite place on earth?
Okay, so I can't say Kirkland, but what
yeah,
I was
that's
what
too
I
too easy.
Too
in this
easy. Okay, yes. What I would have said was my own home, in my neighborhood in Norkirk, in Kirkland, because that's the place I love the best, and I feel so lucky that I feel that way. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to live any other place. That's the place where I enjoy being the most. But since I can't say that, yes. then
well,
there
maybe
we can
go to your second favorite.
Okay,
then.
So there are. Oh, if I had a lot of time, I could make a very long list. But I'll start by saying my office in Pioneer Square. Mm-hmm. I love being there, because Pioneer Square is a historic, unique community. My office is in a building that's over 100 years old. And so it has beautiful architecture, it has lots of character, it has big giant windows and big high ceilings, and I have a view, a very urban view, mm-hmm. Through these giant sycamore trees. I'm on the fifth floor, and these sycamore trees, and there's a whole row of them down the boulevard mm-hmm. in Pioneer Square. Through the sycamore trees, which actually are taller than the fifth story, through the sycamore trees to the Smith Tower. Mm-hmm. So it's a wonderful view, and it's different in every season of the year. Like now, all the leaves are gone, so I can see through the branches right to I can see the whole mm-hmm. Smith Tower. Fortunately, that's my work. I spend a lot of time there, but I really like being there. I love the environment.
I'm sure your clients are very happy to hear that as well.
Yes. And then after that, I would say, you know, I love a lot of smaller towns in California. I travel to California a lot. I love being in Los Gatos, California. Mm-hmm. It's one of my very favorite places. We spend a lot of time in Pasadena. Mm-hmm. And even though that's kind of a city in its own right, but it's sort of, you know, a suburb in a way of Los Angeles. So to me, it's like a small town. I love being in Pasadena, California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I lived there for 9 years, so
I would echo those. You know
yes,
what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's right. I would echo the Pasadena sentiment. And not just when USC is playing in the Rose Bowl. This is one of my favorite questions. What painting would you like most to walk into?
Yeah, there's
the painting.
Yeah,
where would you'd love to be in that painting?
There's an interesting question. So I would love to walk into any of Monet's garden paintings. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, I don't really know the names of them. They're the gardens at...
I'm not going to pretend that I know either. Yeah.
Giverny or, you know, Giverny, someplace in France. Monet's home.
Yeah.
But those Impressionist paintings are, I think, so, have so much depth. I mean, they're impressionists, so they're not really realistic, mm-hmm. but when you see them, you get the impression of the real garden. And actually, when you look at them, you feel like you are kind of, you know, going into mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. But I love to garden, and so I love all kinds of gardens. And those paintings are just give me the best feeling of how wonderful and beautiful nature is.
Mm-hmm. What would you do in those paintings?
I would walk through all of the flowers and all the gardens, the growing things. I would pay attention to the smells. I'd feel the sun on my face. Mm-hmm. I'd be so relaxed because I'd be outdoors in this wonderful environment.
Mm-hmm. So we have all missed opportunities in life. So you know, it's a hard question when it's long. It starts with a statement. Is there one that stands out for you? In other words, I should have, et cetera, et cetera.
You know, I have to say, I don't have an answer for this one. I cannot think of an answer. I feel like in my life, I've had many opportunities, and I've always been a risk taker. So I've taken advantage of all the opportunities I've had. I've had the ability to do so many really rewarding and fulfilling things. I've had lots and lots and lots of adventures. I guess maybe one thing I would say is I wish I'd started my business sooner. Mm-hmm. My business is a second career. And it's always really hard to start a business. I mean, it's a huge risk, and you have to prepare yourself, and you're never prepared. Mm-hmm. But it takes, you know, a couple of years before you even start to break even. So it's a huge financial risk, and it takes constant, you have to put yourself out there, and you have to be very optimistic, and you have to believe in yourself. You have to constantly reinforce yourself because there are so many things that happen that could easily make you give up. Mm-hmm. And so I started my business in my late 30s. And it was kind of the right time because, you know, I had a successful first career, which gave me a lot of experience and a lot of contacts. But it's having my own business has been so rewarding that if I could have, I wish I had started it 5 years or even 10 years mm-hmm. earlier. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, one of the things that I would like to do at some point is coach or help young people in high school as they're thinking about what do they want to do with their lives, mm-hmm. to coach them about or have them think about starting their own business, just to give them the idea that that's an option. Because for me, it wasn't even something I ever even thought I could do or was an option. It was only at a certain point in my life where I had a mentor that encouraged me to do this, and so I did some investigation and some research and eventually did. But it wasn't something I even considered mm-hmm. when I was in high school or college. Mm-hmm. And I would like to plant that seed mm-hmm. in young people, because the whole idea is to find something that you love to do and that you're good at and has business or commercial value. Because when you have your own business, you really have to like it mm-hmm. because you have to work a lot, especially in the beginning. It becomes the entire focus of your life. But then eventually you get to have work that you really love, that's very rewarding. You don't care if you have to work a lot because you like it so much mm-hmm. and it directly benefits you and your family. Mm-hmm. So I guess if I had to, you know, come up with an answer to that question, it would be that I would have done it sooner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that realization does provide a good teaching moment for you to turn around, and now someone mentored you to help do that. Now you can turn around and mentor someone else. Say, hey, in my experience, I wish I would have done this.
Yeah, because I think even today, there's probably the entrepreneurial inspiration or the entrepreneurial spirit is probably more common today, because you have young people, techies, there's all kinds of startups that happen all the time. Many are successful, some fail, but I think young people probably are sort of more inspired than I was, because it's a little more common. But I would still like to talk to people. I think young people, especially I think in high school, mm-hmm. where you're starting to find your way and you're thinking about college, but maybe you don't quite know what to study, mm-hmm. to really try to focus on what you love to do and what you're good at. Mm-hmm. And think about, is there any way I could turn this into a business?
Right. Yeah, that certainly was not what I was thinking about in high school.
Yes,
but
right.
We definitely don't want to get into that. Well, you're a politician. The chartreuse here is, what politician do you admire most? It doesn't have to be a current one. Could be from the past.
And again, this would, if I really sat and thought about it, this would be a very long list, because there are so many that I admire. But I would start with President Obama. I admire him greatly. He's a risk taker, and he is a fabulous speaker. I really admire the way he's unflappable. He is whatever audience he has, whatever situation he's in, whether it's one that he prepared for or one that is totally extemporaneous, he is so calm, so rational, so compelling. I just really admire him so much. And I actually admire his wife a lot too. Mm-hmm. She has some of those same qualities. I really admire Hillary Clinton. She is so incredibly smart and talented, and she has so much to offer, and strong. To me, she is sort of my image of what I think a strong woman and a politician should be and is. So I really admire her. I admire Patty Murray and Maria Cantwell, our two senators. Both of them, and it's interesting, they're very different from each other, but both of them have accomplished so much, and it's been really fascinating to watch them grow into their positions. I admire greatly Bobby Kennedy and John F. Kennedy. Mm-hmm. Both of them were at the vanguard of this huge social change that our country went through, and they were incredible leaders in helping us navigate through that change. I admire former President Bill Clinton, so smart and so articulate and able to talk intelligently about almost any subject. And then I admire Senator Eric Omeg, the senator from our district, and he's a young politician serving his first term. And again, it has been, I know him a little bit. I really admire his values. He is very committed to his values. He has so much integrity, and he works really hard, and it's been fascinating to watch him develop mm-hmm. with his position.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, the DNC certainly appreciates the support there. the last of these, do you have a life motto?
I do.
You can share.
I do. It's work for the good of yourself by working for the good of others. And I actually have this. This is a motto that's probably 100 years old. It was said or developed by Elbert Hubbard, who was the founder of the Roycroft School and campus in upstate New York, in mm-hmm. East Aurora, New York, during the arts and crafts era, the early 1900s. And he was sort of a philosopher and a wise person who gathered a bunch of talented artisans together, who lived and worked together, and printed books and made all kinds of beautiful artifacts and household items. But I really like that. Actually, I have it posted on my, framed and posted on my wall in the office. Mm. And it applies to not only my work, but all areas of my life.
So maybe can you give an example of how you've, a more specific example of how you've applied that model?
So, for example, being a Kirkland City Council person is a huge commitment. It's in both time and energy, and at times it can be very challenging and very stressful, but you're motivated to do it for the good of your community. For me, it has nothing to do with personal ambition. Mm-hmm. It's all about I love where I live so much. What can I do to help it be even better and to help it survive and prosper? And for me, in my progression of public service things I've done in Kirkland, being a Kirkland City Council person is an example of that. And in the doing of that, it's also very personally rewarding. Even though it's challenging and even though it's a huge commitment, when you work on things, and the harder the things are, the more you feel this way, when you work on things and they have a good outcome, a successful outcome, and you feel like you have really done something that had benefits far beyond yourself, mm-hmm. that is so rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'll dovetail that in terms of Kirkland with the final question of the day. If you were to look ahead 10 years from now, what would your hope for Kirkland be?
Okay. So, and as an elected official, you really have to do this, mm-hmm. because many of the things that you work on don't come to a conclusion for many years. Some of the things you work on won't come to a conclusion while you're still in office. Mm-hmm. So you have to really be forward thinking. You have to think ahead. But what I would say to that question, and this is sort of what drives me and what I actually believe will happen. I would like to say, Kirkland has retained its beauty, its small town community character, its historic character. It has a thriving business community. Kirkland City government is financially stable. We've reduced our carbon footprint. We have eliminated ivy from our urban forests.
I can appreciate that.
I hate ivy, and especially
it is an evil plant.
It is an evil plant, and especially in our parks and urban forests, I really want to get rid of it. And that I would still say, and Kirkland citizens would say, this is the best place to live in the world. Mm-hmm. That we still love Kirkland. That everything we love about it has survived, has been preserved, has prospered, has gotten better, mm-hmm. that our residential neighborhoods would still have their same character, mm-hmm. that I would say, and all Kirkland citizens would say, we love Kirkland. We love living in Kirkland. We think it's the best place in the entire world. I wouldn't want to live any place else. Mm-hmm. If I could live any place in the world, including Pasadena, I would pick my house on my street in my neighborhood in Norkirk in Kirkland. Mm-hmm. It's the best place in the world to live.
How do you think Kirkland citizens can, what can they do to help accomplish this 10-year vision here?
And you know, I have to say that I admire Kirkland citizens so much because they do step up and get involved. But I think that is what it takes for citizens at all levels, in all ways, to get involved, whether it's taking a position on issues and coming down and communicating to the Kirkland City Council, joining and getting involved in your neighborhood association, going to the neighborhood universities where you can learn how things really work, mm-hmm. and get more of an in-depth knowledge, volunteering for the ivy poles,
oh, yeah.
and the different park cleanup opportunities that we have, volunteering to help at events. There are so many ways that people can get involved, and I think that's what it takes. You've got to both, it's important to both communicate so that we as elected representatives can truly represent our citizens, so we can know what are they thinking, what do they mm-hmm. want, what are their needs, what do they think about these particular issues, and then to have feet on the ground actually doing things, getting involved and making a difference, having an influence any way you can.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. We're out of questions.
Okay.
So, Jessica, thank you very much for joining us here, and we look forward to talking again.
Thank you. It was fun and interesting.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.